Amen. You ready for the word? Are you ready for the word? Are you ready for the word? All right, let's go and listen together. Father, in the name of your son Jesus, in this service, we welcome the revelation of the written word. We have humility in our hearts and faith in our minds to accept the integrity of the living word over our emotions, our thought patterns. In this service, we behold Jesus Christ, your son, even as he sees us in him. He's glorified as we are edified. Amen. Alright, don't be stupid. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 28. Don't be stupid. We have quite some things to cover this morning. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's what power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, that's what make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always till the end. Amen. So look at that. That means that when a believer is not found going, is not found teaching others, is not found making disciples, because that's what teaching, Matthew 2, to make disciples, then he's not in obedience to Jesus. So the question this morning is, are you in obedience to Jesus? Are you living in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ? Mark's Gospel 16, again in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized, verse 16, shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. Verse 17, and this sign shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. That's the word demons, actually. They shall speak with new tongues. 17, 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. Verse 19, so then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received in heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20, that means they were in obedience. So verse 15 and 16, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, demistalized, and confirming the word with signs following. So also, if you are not found going from place to place, preaching the gospel, the huwajaleon, the news of Christ's kingdom, his exploits, his glory and power, then you are not in obedience to Jesus. Again, in John's Gospel 20, and verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them, demisitalized, and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you retain, or remits, sorry, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, the word sin second time is italicized, he says they are retained. In other words, he gives us a mandate to forgive sins just like he does. Now in the first service I explained that as the work of the Spirit. Leans and that it comes out or when it comes out. So Luke's Gospel 24, which would which we're gonna take off from on today's subject, verse 25. He said unto them, don't be stupid, is that it? O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now go to verse 44. So we said the word expound means to interpret, to translate, to teach contextually, grammatically, and to find the theology. Bible study is a very rigorous task. It's a very disciplined and dedicated task. And no one is doing you favor when they tell you it's so easy. Just come to church with a phone or nothing at all. And when the sermon is going on, they put the scriptures on the screen for you. Just be relaxed. As you are hearing, we give you tea. You know, tea and bread. Amen. And as you're hearing that, they say, just calm down. The Holy Spirit is going to work. Yes, oh, yeah. You are not growing, you are groaning. Spiritual growth demands responsibility, demands effort, it demands tasking yourself. And it's very vital to know that. Some of us give so much attention to other books. We read them thoroughly. We understand them. When it comes to the Bible, we take it by piecemeal. We take it with a frivolous an unserious attitude. You cannot develop spiritually that way. You must throw your life at it. You must, like the song says, you gave your very best. If he gave us his very best, then we ought to give our very best to. We ought to give our very best to the study of his word, to the preaching of his gospel, and all of that. So, put that in mind. So in verse 44, and here's Jesus, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, referring to the Old Testament, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Yet again, we emphasize that Jesus was always teaching from Genesis to Malachi. Genesis to Malachi is the word of God. And Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that it's inspired by God for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, which means that if we are going to, if we will interpret the Old Testament as we call it properly, if we understand this theology, there's nothing different from the theology of Genesis to Malachi than that which is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the same thing. Audience differs, but the theology is the same. The covenant is the same. The message is the same. And God, of course, is the same. So we do that by studying properly. So in verse 45 of Luke 24, then open ye their understanding. The word diagnogio, which means to launch it, to split it wide from an interest that had before. Their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. This word understand there is the word suniemi, to read the scriptures together. Suniemi means to read the scriptures together, that they might understand. I told you earlier, I'm sure it's last week, that the word suniemi has to do with the facts of the Old Testament. Now, earlier on in Matthew 13 and verse 13, Jesus spoke about that as touching the crowd. Now, he's citing from Isaiah. Isaiah verse 6 precisely, and verse 9. Then he says, I'm speaking to them in parables, because seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they sue near me. Neither do they sue near me. Facts of the Old Testament. Isaiah 6 is where he's teaching that from. Neither can they put the facts of the scriptures together. So what is spiritual growth? Spiritual growth is to be able to understand Genesis to Malachi. Understand the message in there. Understand what God intervened in man's situation. And what's God's answer. Or also God's questions. Isaiah 6 and 9. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. You see indeed and perceive not. So that's the word suiniemi. Has to do with Old Testament facts. Verse 14 again, Matthew 13. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which is by hearing, what we just read now. You shall hear, shall not understand. See, you shall see and not perceive. Then verse 15, that they should understand with their heart and be converted, and then I shall heal them. To put the scriptures together. Now notice, mention this, verse 19, where you have Satan came immediately. We're going to get to that. And one that hears the word of kingdom and doesn't understand it, then cometh the wicked one. So when I'm not able to understand scripture, I give Satan the room to deceive me or confuse me. Then in verse 23, who is the guy that is growing? He heard the word, then he understands it. He's able to read it together, puts the facts together. He doesn't selectively read scriptures, like some of us do. He doesn't have memory verses or favorite verses, no. I told you, do not have favorite verses. Don't have don't have areas you don't want to read. You must read all scripture. You must understand all scripture. Verse 51, have you understood all these things? Again, the word suniemi. So suniemi has to do with my ability to read the Old Testament text together. So I gave you the principle of community reading. I got it from the law school, where you read things together. You don't pick a statement and forget other parts of the statutes. You read everything together. You must read Malachi with Zechariah. Zechariah with Isaiah. Isaiah with the Psalms. Psalms with the Exodus. Exodus with Genesis. You must read everything together. That is how you'll be able to arrive at where Jesus arrived at, and also the apostles. So let's look at a few other things, in Luke's Gospel 24, verse 27. Yet again, He says, beginning at Moses, the word ake. I know last week or so, we looked at that phrase, ake. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. And I told you the word beginning, was it this service? I think I'm mixing services. Was it this service? No, it's not. Okay, beginning there, ake, A-R-C-H-E, is referencing Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that word there, in Genesis 1:1, if you could go there, is the word reshith in the Hebrew. R-E-S-H-Y-T-H. Reshith. R-E-S-H-Y-I-T-H. Reshith. Now, that word is not the way we use beginning. Always have Bible words for Bible explanation. Don't give today's words. Just like I told you, when we say son of God, it's not male child. That's not what it means. It's the word binay, an image of a deity. Somebody who mirrors an unseen God. That's the Hebrew, or let's say the ancient Near Eastern culture race of expression of the word son. It's not male boy. It's not male son or boy. No. So when they say, oh, you son of God, those say, I reject it, I'm a daughter of God. Alright. Son just means image. One is image and likeness. One who represents. So that's why in Genesis 1:26, it was used for male and female. 2:28. Then in Genesis 5:3, it was also used for the son of Adam. So it's used for the son of someone. It's the image. Somebody who bears someone's image and likeness is called son. Like an agent of another person. Son. That's why a whole Israel in Exodus 4:22 was called the son of God. So son is not the way we use son today as a male child. Okay, so the word beginning also is from the word reshith. R-E-S-H-Y-I-T-H, like I mentioned, which has to do with, it has a multilateral understanding. Genesis 10, verse 10, for example. Genesis 10 and verse 10. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. That doesn't mean there was nothing before it. It just means something commenced at Babel. A new beginning. A fresh walk. Then you have Genesis 49. Genesis 49. Verse 3. Reuben, thou art my beginning. Beginning of my strength. Reuben was born. I'm sure you know Reuben was born after he got married. After Jacob got married. So the beginning of my strength means the continuation. So it's used for a new beginning or a fresh start. So it's used for a firstborn, also used for first fruit. First fruit. So that word reshith, firstborn, new beginning, first fruit, or a new creation. Which is obvious what Genesis 1:1 represents. So you find a lot of things that will explain that to you. For example, you have a seed. Genesis 1:11, the seed is in itself. So when Jesus was teaching the parable of the sower, he was re-explaining Genesis to them. Genesis is about the seed. Parable of the sower is about a new beginning. So who was he giving the new beginning to? People who were doubters, unbelieving. Who did Moses offer a new beginning to? The same kind of audience. A new beginning. Then you have the seed. Then you have the image of God. Genesis 1:26-28. So in Genesis 3:15, I'm just giving you a revision of things we've studied before. The seed of the serpent. Notice the word seed is now used for a human being. Or activities, and the seed of the woman. So the use of seed, I said it to you many times, that the audience and the writers were agrarian in thinking. That means they thought through lands, seed, trees, fruit. So don't take their words literally. It's an expression. For example, when God says, I am El Shaddai, that word Shaddai, used for El Shaddai in Genesis 17:1, means a wide land. I am a wide land. When he gave Abraham a promise, he gave him a wide land. And he says, I am your possession. Which means that when he said he gave him a land, he was referring to himself. To himself, how big am I? He said, in all of the earth. Then he says, my glory will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. So he gave Abraham, you think he gave Abraham real estate? No. He gave Abraham himself. When Moses was going to say it, he said, the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters covers the sea. Habakkuk 2 again 14. So when Jesus came, he says, go and make examples of every nation. So that's what he gave Abraham. Land was just used because Abraham was agrarian in thinking. Let me see if you understand that. Is that very clear? Aha. So in case you are a Jew in this service, apologies. You don't own Nigeria. Amen. Is that clear? You say, no, God has given the Israel every land. No. He's talking about people. I told you also, the use of earth and land also refers to people. So when Jesus has beginning at Moses, he's basically talking about that new beginning. The promise God gave through Moses is now about to be fulfilled. Let me look at the word beginning again for you. Beginning also refers to writings. Just a review of things we've studied before now. John's Gospel chapter 8, verse 44, for example, when Jesus says that you are of your father the devil, and he says he was a liar from the archaic, from the beginning. And that story is in Genesis 4, not Genesis 1. So beginning also refers to writings, not with time, not timing. It's a writing. In Matthew 19, verse 4, also when it says in the beginning, that which made them at the beginning, Matthew 19 verse 4, is Genesis 1, 26 to 28. In Genesis 1, then again in verse 8, at the beginning it was not so, is referring to writing. So, let's just clarify that quickly. The word beginning refers to writing, the writings or the message of God's new beginning, which was given to the nation of Israel, and explained in agrarian terms, the use of land, seed, image, temple, and all of that. So beginning at Moses simply meant that Jesus is saying that beginning is now. And if you look at John 20, the way John said it, says, at the first day of the week, first day, which means that Christ's resurrection is that new beginning, that seedling that will birth in many nations. In John's first epistle of John, chapter 1 and verse 1, first epistle of John, chapter 1 and verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. That's beginning there. Life. Light. Genesis 1:3. But look at Genesis, look at 1 John 3 and verse 11. This is the message. Look at this one now. Which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain. So, who was first told to be his brother's keeper? Huh? Which book is that? Genesis 4. Right? And it's called beginning. Whereas, before Genesis 4, we had Genesis 1, 2, and 3, which means the word beginning refers to a writing. So the use of words in scripture, you must stick to it. Don't interpret scripture in your own language. Firstly, understand the language of scripture. Then, when you've understood it, you can now see the application in your own words. But don't change the language and don't change the meaning. So the word beginning has to do with writing. It has to do with God's begin of the nation of Israel. It has to do with the principle of redemption or the Exodus. We've done all these studies before. I'm just repeating them for emphasis so that you'll understand it. So I've said it many times that the book of Genesis is not a book of science. You're not trying to dispute scientific discoveries by Genesis. The person who wrote it is not a scientist. So it befits of ignorance for you to try to explain the age of the earth by using Genesis 1, 2, and 3. The writer had nothing to say about that. He's talking to a nation who are supposed to have a new beginning. And then he used agrarian terms, creative terms, to show them what God is doing. It's a book of salvation. It's not a book of hydrodynamics. It's not a book of agriculture, even though you see agricultural terms there. It's not a book of cosmetology, or is it cosmosology or something. It's not a book of agronomy. It's not a book of histology. What else can I say? Anatomy, physiology. No. That's why the same scripture will tell you that Joshua stopped the sun. And then later on we found out that no, it's not the sun that is moving, it's the earth that rotates around the sun. The Bible is wrong. No. At the time that was written, the scientists believed it was the sun that was evolving. Which means that the writer simply used the science of their day to explain spiritual truth. The Bible is very honest. Whatever science was available there, God will use to communicate His word. Just like the parable of the sower. I can fault it, Jesus' parable right now, by scientific facts. You know, I'll use that one that fell among thorns. We can still rescue it. In today's science, yeah, even the one on the hard ground. Today people plant without good soil. Now they put it somewhere and they think it will germinate. So Jesus, that in there is Old Testament science. So I'm saying that he used the science of his day. Simple. So the Bible is not a book of science. So don't ever try to be arguing the science. Don't look stupid. Okay? Don't be stupid. Amen. Yeah. Just take salvation through faith that is found in Christ Jesus. And that's what the Bible is about. So you must use Bible words for Bible terms. So now, as disciples of Jesus, go to Matthew 11. Learning something? Are you learning something? Matthew 11. Imagine you're a believer. It's not even expected of you as a Christian not to be able to speak from the Bible that you have believed. And when they ask you about Jesus on the internet, you say, I have Jesus for you. And you will talk. When some people have gossip, they do hermeneutics. They can talk. There was one guy like that in my secondary school. When he's talking about movies, everybody sits down. How many of you have watched this in Feyi Kogbo? You never seen it before? I was in the 80s. Everybody will sit down. That guy will be giving us G's. So when he now took the stick, the stick was long though, he put it somewhere. Then he was dodging. There was one other guy who was behind, he didn't see him. You are like watching the thing in real life. Well, they come and explain the Bible. I'm not a pastor. Were you a film producer? You know, because you are not serious Christian. You know, look at raps that you cram. Raps. I wanna go. Any latest plan, cut soap, you know it. Any latest is on your head. Go. So have you listened to this teacher on media? Is there a new one there? No. Even those raps that, you know, they look like they are speaking astral travel. You see this and say, what he said was, take it up, put it down, put it. Scripture, God says this thing, and the love so God the love that he gave his only begotten God, that whosoever that is your life. You see? I say you are a Christian. Cover your face. What Christian are you? Cover your face. Ordinary Bible teaching. 30 minutes. You are looking at your wristwatch. What's wrong with your watch? He has not even gone to the subject. When are we going? When did you arrive? That you are going. You go to a movie, cinema. You watch 3 movies on the same day. You'll be taking popcorn. One that you have already seen in your house, you take your friends to go and watch it together.
Sir, you come, that, come and see this movie. It's very sweet.
Then you see that there. 1 hour, you are there. Oh, I said, yeah. And you collected your money. And you pay. Yet you come here to hear God's word. You give up for you, man. Up of Jesus. Thank you. So you put all your attention there. When it comes to the Bible. They say the Greek word. That is not this difficult, just the Greek word. I'm not Greek now, I'm Igbo now. What's up now? The ones you are watching. Don't you watch Telemundo? Indian movie. Do they not translate for you? When I was watching Indian movies, I don't think there used to be even good translations. You watch it. Who know what they're saying? You don't know what they are. Well, now saying the Greek word is your last sleeping. Yeah, what's wrong with you? Wake okay. Up! Hallelujah. Are you in church?
Uh-huh.
They even got to the point they will translate Indian film to Yoruba. I saw one and say, Matthew 11. Someone in church? Alright, look at it. It says in verse 28, come unto me all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest of God is knowing his son. Verse 27. That's the rest of God, to know. It says, you know the Father through the Son, and what is this? We come unto me. What are you coming to know? You are coming to know the Father, and I will give you rest. And it says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. When you have yoke, I maybe I've seen this, and the best way to explain this is, if you've seen those young boys that learn the Quran, and so when they go, you see that there is this, they are attached to their teachers. They go there from morning till night. You know, the parents practically, you know, deliver them over in that context. So they understood that culture. That is the yoke. That means, take my yoke upon you. That means, take the responsibility to learn from me. Yoke, zugos. So it's used for master and student. 1 Timothy 6 and 1. Master and servant, for example. So you are tied. There says, learn of me, mantano in the Greek, where you have disciples. So when you want to learn God's word, you must be bound to it. It's not something you do casually. You just speak your Bible when there's trouble, because there's already trouble. You know, or you just hear it casually. You just say, I like what this man is saying. That's how some people are going through. I like what this man is saying. It's true. That thing is true. Christian, it's true. I mean, it's making sense. It's making sense. Because, you see, we human beings, are you a Christian? It's true. You didn't open your Bible. You didn't take any notes. It's true. I caught something. I caught it. You're always catching. Is it virus? You're catching. You're not listening. You're not paying attention. Hallelujah. But you are more detailed about other things. You remember God's phone number. Not a verse is in your head. Say what? Genesis 1:1. Is that not the beginning Satan created something? So you have to take your Christian life seriously. So if we are tied to Jesus as our teacher, we must therefore use words like he does. So we must read scriptures intelligently and properly interpret his words. Let's look at something in Matthew 16. We're looking at don't be stupid as a believer. I've seen that Christians can be stupid. A believer can be. Now in Matthew 16, something important happened here. Now Peter had already spoken from verse 16 about Jesus being the Christ and Son of God. And Jesus in 17 calls him blessed. In 18, he says about him that he gives him the keys of the kingdom. In 18 he says, upon this rock I'll build my church. In 19, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Now it got to a point that Jesus now began to speak about his death in 21. Now in 22, Peter now took him aside and began to rebuke him. And that happens a lot with familiarity. It's strange that when Peter first saw Jesus and Jesus used his boat, to preach. It's like using your office. You know, his boat is his commercial tool. And Jesus brought it to preach the gospel. So, no, separate your commercial life from the gospel. Peter gave his boat to Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. To preach. So Peter said, no, depart from me. I'm a sinner. That's what he said. After years and of working together, he now became familiar with Christ. And then, you know, had that sense of, what's the big deal about you? I can respond when you are talking. So as soon as Jesus said that, he said, Lord, even use Lord. So because you said, sir, doesn't mean you are not rude. He said, be very careful, sir. He was talking to another man of God who was older than all of us. He said, Reverend, when I'm finishing with you, you won't be able to stand again. And use Reverend. Reverend means I respect you. I honor you. I honor you. I will give you blow. So Peter says, yeah, Lord, shut up. That's the import of what he said. Shut up, sir. You know. And then in verse 23, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Now, the truth is, that word Satan has to be understood by us. It is the Greek word Satanas. S-A-T-A-N-A-S. Now, when we hear Satan, the first thing that comes to our mind is the devil. And it's not always correct. Okay? The word Satanas is again from an Hebrew word, Satan. It's an Old Testament text. Word. What it simply means is an adversary or an opponent. An adversary or an opponent. Now, let's go to the Old Testament usages. Don't forget again that Jesus is always teaching from the Old Testament books. In Numbers 22, we'll find that word. Numbers 22. Pay attention here. This is the angel of the Lord in verse 22. It says, God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way as a Satan against him. The angel of the Lord here is called Satan. Why? Because he opposed what Balaam was about to do. Balaam was about to do what is wrong, and God opposed it, or to resist it. In verse 32, the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore, as thou smitten thine ass three times, behold, I went down to withstand thee. Look at the word, to withstand. Numbers 22, verse 32, the word withstand there is the word Satan. To Satan you. First Samuel 29 verse 4. The princes of Philistines were wroth with him, and the prince of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him. Let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary. He becomes our opponent. Lest he becomes our opponent. 2 Samuel 19 and verse 22. David said, what shall I do with you, you sons of Zeruah, that you should do this, you should this day be adversaries, you should be Satan to me. Then you find 1 Kings 5 and 4, just for further reference, 1 Kings 5 and 4, 1 Kings 11 verse 14, Let me just go through it. I think I need to. 1 Kings 5 and 4. The Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, other the Edomite was of the king's seed in Edom. Then verse 25. No, sorry. 1 Kings, I just read 11:14. 1 Kings 11:23. Another adversary. Then 25. It was an adversary to Israel. So that's someone who opposes. So therefore, in 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 1, you see, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Satan stood up against Israel. It's a very controversial word, because the Samuel accounts of this statement, 2 Samuel 24, the anger of the Lord. So the anger of the Lord was called an adversary, a Satan, the wrath of God. So up till this point, we are not going to see any particular person called Satan. It describes opposition and adversary. Whilst in the book of Job, from Job 1 to 6, Job 1 verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, 12, till Job 2, verse 1, verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, so 4, 6 and 7. Let me take it again. Job 1, 6, Job 1, 7, Job 1, 8, Job 1, 9, Job 1, 12, Job 2 verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 and 7 is used for a particular person. Don't forget that Job did not see that person. Job did not talk about that person. So the works of this adversary was carried out by Job's fear. So we can say that Job yielded to the adversary. And so Job, in his words, in his fear and unbelief, yielded to the opponents of God's word in ignorance. So this, for the first time, we see a particular being behind opposing God's counsel. And it's not referring to a human being. We're seeing also the angel of the Lord opposing what opposes God's counsel. And the action was also called Satan. In Psalm 109, are you learning something? Psalm 109 and verse 6. Thou art a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. Let an adversary stand at his right hand. Zechariah 3:1 has the same thing. So the word Satan simply means one who opposes, one who withstands, one who goes against. Now, don't forget, we are still in Matthew 16. So let's give a background to what happened through Peter. Now, I've told you and I've taught you before that the Matthew and Luke's rendering of the temptation of Jesus happened amongst who? Amongst who? Men. Okay? One of which was Peter himself. It happened amongst men. So in Matthew 4 and verse 10, look at the same statement. Matthew 4:10. Now read that with Matthew 16:23. Do they sound alike? Go there, come on. Matthew 4:10 and Matthew 16:23. Can you see it? Look at it together, come on. And he turned and said to Peter, what? Matthew 16:23. He said to Peter, what? He said to Peter, what? Matthew 4:10. He said unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Is this similar? Very good. Look at Mark. Not yet. Okay, let's stop at that. Look at Mark 1:13. Was tempted of Satan with wild beasts and all. So you have Satan, therefore, can be used to describe an action and also a being or the work of that being through others. Look at Matthew 12:26. If Satan cast out Satan, is divided against himself. They have Mark 3:23, the same thing. Mark 3:23 and 24. Let's see Mark 8:35. Oh, sorry. Mark 8:33. Get thee behind me, Satan. And he's talking to Peter. For thou severest not the things which be of God, but the things thou of men. So, Satan can be used for an action or a person. Mark 4:15. Pay attention here. Mark 4:15. This is in the parable of the sower. Now, it said, the one that falls by the wayside, where the word is sown, when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. Now, that Satan need not be an angelic being. It means an opponent, an adversary, someone or something that is subtly against God's word. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Come on, guys, is that clear? Uh-huh. So that's what Satan meant there. Luke 10:18. Here's Jesus. I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Watch this. I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Jesus said that, referring to his triumph over the devil. But look at verse 21, verse 19. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Yet, Jesus called human beings also serpents. Matthew 10:16. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, who are as wise as serpents. So you'll be harmless as doves. Matthew 23:33. It refers to the Pharisees as serpents. Generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Even John the Baptist in Matthew 3 and verse 7 refers to the Pharisees as a generation of snakes. So which means that when Jesus said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, it means what the devil will do through people, or the opposition people will have against the gospel. So always understand the use of Satan in context. In Luke 13, for example, we have Satan obviously here as a spiritual being. Luke 13 and verse 16. It says, ought not this woman, was bent over very sick, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound. Now that's not a man, right? Right? That's a spiritual fact. These 18 days. So you have Satan here referring to a spiritual being. So go to Luke 22. This is Judas now. When Judas betrayed Jesus. In Luke 22. Look at the description. Luke 22. Before we go to Luke 22. Let's take Peter first. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you. Satan, the opponent, the opposition, are determined to have you. But he says, I have prayed for you. So again, all that is referring to happened amongst men. So the work of Satan and the work of the devil happens among people. Now, look at verse 3 of Luke 22. Then Satan entered into Judas, named Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. So this shows that he began to oppose Jesus. Okay. And John 13:27, again the use of Satan, entered into Judas. Alright. Look at Acts 5. Acts 5. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? This is to Ananias. Satan fills your heart. That means you are perverting things. You are opposing things. Acts 26, verse 18, to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Romans 16 and verse 20. So, Satan is used for whatever opposes. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? It can come in form of a spiritual being. It can also come in form of human actions. Romans 16, 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan or bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Now go to 1 Corinthians 5, 5. Which would expatiate what we just said now. 1 Corinthians 5, 5. Now this is a brother who had his father's wife. He comes to services. He has no remorse at all. They even come to the service together. And Paul said to them in church, Corinthians, why are you guys acting like this? You act like you don't care. The month you are puffed up, verse 2. So Paul says, now I give you instruction. Watch this. Though I'm absent, but yet concerning him that had done this deed, in the name of the Lord Jesus, verse 4, when you gather together my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, the spirit being saved in the day of the Lord. Now he's not asking you to go and call the devil. Now that Satan there is used for what? Opposing that brother. So the church there is the Satan. The gathering of the church there is the Satan. And that follows by the instruction that he gave afterwards. He says that brother, verse 7, purge him out. Verse 8, don't keep peace with him. Verse 9, don't company with him. Verse 13, put away that wickedness from amongst you. And that is the Satan he was referring to. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5. That Satan tempts you not for your incontinency. So Satan here is used for a being. In 1 Corinthians 5, 5, Satan is used for an action. Just like the Old Testament text. In 2 Corinthians 2, 11. We are not... Now imagine this. After asking, telling them to oppose that brother... In 2 Corinthians 2, he's not writing to the same church. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. We are not ignorant of his devices. Now, the church is supposed to be Satan to oppose the brother. Say, look, the brother has suffered enough. He has cried. Let's receive him. Lest Satan, the Satan being, should take advantage of us. Even though we acted the Satan, are you getting what I'm talking about? So, Satan is used positively and negatively to the same church. Now, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. It says, the messenger of Satan is to buffet me. What do we mean, messenger of Satan? Paul is talking about the persecutions that he faced in the hands of men. Just read 2 Corinthians 11 throughout. The persecutions from verse 23 through to 27. He suffered in the hands of men. So sometimes Satan is used to describe men. Sometimes the spiritual being called the devil. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18. Paul, wherefore would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. That's men. Men stopped them. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9. And verse 9. Those coming after the walking of Satan with powers, lying wonders. That is the satanic being. So, see 1 Timothy again. 1:20. So, this reinforces how I've been teaching you that words only have meanings in their context. Is that very clear? It's within the context that you know what he's referring to. Now look at 1 Timothy 1. Now this is again church discipline about these two brethren or brothers who were teaching things that were contrary to the doctrine. In 19, 1 Timothy 1, concerning faith and a good conscience, which some have been put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. I'll take that again. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some have been put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Of whom is Arminius, 1 Timothy 1:20, and Alexander, whom I have delivered to what? Now use it properly. To opposition. That means I have told people to resist them. Is that very clear? So that they will learn not to blaspheme. It's not talking about the satanic being. Look at chapter 5 and verse 15. I'll start from 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproach. For some have turned again after Satan. So that means that they have begun to act in rebellion in the church, and it says they have turned to Satan. Okay? Now, let's see a few more texts. Revelation 2 and verse 9. Revelation 2, verse 9. Just read that one quickly. He calls some gathering synagogue of Satan. Same thing, verse 13. Where Satan dwells. Where they oppose the word. Verse 24. They have known the death of Satan as they speak a doctrine. Revelation 3, 9. Again, synagogue of Satan. Revelation 12, verse 9. He says, the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, and Satan that deceived the whole world. So where we find deception, twisting of scriptures, it's called Satan. Say, this is by Satan. Then you can check Revelation 20 verse 2 and verse 7. So, which means that any act that opposes the gospel is called satanic. Is that clear? It's of Satan. So we have to look at the words within the context of what was being said. So, there are certain instances where even the word Satan can be used for believers, right? In their actions. It can be positive when it's against what opposes God's word. It can also be negative, as we have seen it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Timothy 5 and 15. Or where we judge a brother to condemn him, Paul says we are not ignorant of the vices of the devil. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11. So the word Satan must be seen in context. That's why even Jesus, go to Matthew 17, when his own disciples could not cure the fellow that was brought to them, look at what he says. Matthew 17:17, he says, O faithless and perverse generation. O faithless and perverse generation. Apistos kai dastrepho in the Hebrew. Interestingly, this is the same term that Moses used for the children of Israel in Exodus 32. Faithless and perverse generation. In Mark 16:14, he also called, he scolded them for their unbelief and hardness of the heart. So we can therefore have instances where such words are used to rebuke us because of our conduct. Look at Luke 9. Luke 9. Now verse 41 repeats what we have said earlier. But Luke 9. When the disciples said, Lord, let's call down fire. In verse 54. From heaven. King James will say, and consume them like Elijah did. He turned and rebuked them. The word there means, it's just the same way he rebukes demons. Don't you know what manner of spirit you are of? For the Son of Man is come, not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He's talking to his own disciples, using the same strong terms he uses for demons. So which means that people can yield in opposition to the gospel, even though they might even be believers. So, anything that subverts God's word, that changes it, is referred to as Satan. Acts 13, And verse 8. This is Elimelech the sorcerer who was trying to twist what God, what Paul and Barnabas were saying. Elimelech the sorcerer, for who is his surname, but interpretation, withstood them, seeking, he withstood them, look at the word, he withstood them, seeking to turn away the devotee from the truth. The word withstood there is, where you have the same word, Satan. And then verse 10, what does Paul say? O full of subtlety of mischief, thou child of the devil, enemy of all righteousness. Acts 20, verse 30. So when we say Satan, don't always expect a bat to be flying. Is that very clear? No. It's Satan is best expressed in words. The very first manifestation of the devil we saw is in words. Genesis 3 verse 1 and 2, which we are going to also look at, is in words. So if I'm really watching myself from union to the devil, I'll watch the words I listen to and the words I have believed. So those who have painted Satan primarily as somebody flying in the sky, they have been deceived by the devil. Alright? Do we have such demonic manifestations? We do. But they are in the secondary realm. At all. If Satan didn't come to Jesus by flying in the air. He came through people. So you and I should be smart to know that when we say Satan, he's referring to activities around men in primary operation. Some people don't even know they are yielding to Satan because they think they must have seen something in a dream. No. Things you have believed, things you have listened to, things you have watched, and they are deep in your emotions, can be seen as Satanas or Satan. Acts 20 and verse 30. Look at what Paul said. In verse 29, he says, when I know some grievous wolves. Now watch this. Grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So he says that he's leaving them in Ephesus, but he knows that some people will come in. Now, who did Jesus call wolves? Remember? Matthew 10, can you remember? Men who pervert God's word and get disciples. He now said, now from among you, which means even from amongst those who God chose, some for the flesh. He says, some of yourselves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw disciples out of themselves. When you see someone in a local church trying to raise his own disciples, trying to be twisting what the pastor is saying, trying to be saying something else, the person is yielding to what? Yielding to what? So when we say, don't give Satan room, don't think we are talking about something flying, maybe a cat near your house. You know, in Africa, a cat is a demon. And that's because of the movies people have watched before now. Have you watched Aye before? I will put it in here. That you see me. You know what this is? Okay. You see a cat talking. So, you don't see a cat. Remember when we finished watching that movie? What's this place again? Main auditorium. It was Aye. And so when I went, that's how all of our neighbors just bought a cat. I could not sleep. Ha. They brought the wall, the demon, to the house. Do you know even that allowed us like till now? Like, meow. I bind you, Jesus. That attitude of binding that you are doing is actually what the devil wants. Amen. Because there's no cat. Okay, let's leave that. Before you start, so you don't go and buy cats and say, Pastor, I say cats are. So you see, Philippians 2:15. So when you have somebody in the local church creating opposition, is acting as a Satanas. Philippians 2:15. It says, in a crooked and perverse generation. So the common word so far is the word diastrepho, D-I-S-T-R-E-P-H-O. Same word in Matthew 17:17. Jesus called his own disciples perverse, diastrepho, D-I-A-S-T-R-E-P-H-O. Same word in Luke 9:41 and Luke 23:2, and the same thing Elimas the sorcerer did in Acts 13:8-10, and what even believers who have the grace of God can do, Acts 20:30. and what we should be aware of in the world today. Some of us can be very, very careless with what we read. Part of the instruction not to be stupid. You just read stuff, you know. You're looking at a spirit behind what you are reading. You're just reading, say, well, you know, and you are open. Before you know it, you are being influenced to think in a particular manner. And gradually, because you lack knowledge, you begin to lose your respect for scripture. Scriptures don't have that. Or you say, well, the Bible is many years old. How can I be trusting a book? Because somebody told you. Then begin to reason, you know, and all of that. And, you know, I begin to assume. What you have done simply is to yield to Satan. So there are times like that, very strong words are used for believers because it is found in their conduct. Very strong words. Crooked and perverse nation. Very strong words. That's why in 1 Corinthians 3, when Paul was going to correct the church at Corinth, he called them carnal. Of the flesh. Two Greek words, sarkinos and sarkikos, from the flesh, of the flesh. Though both words were oxymorons, but it simply means the unbelieving life was found in their conduct. And is neither good. Neither is good. So I'm born again, I'm not carnal, I'm born of the spirit, it's just my color that's carnal. Which one is now good? So the words sarkinos and sarkikos, oxymoron, were used to refer to saints who were fleshly, or let's say of the devil, even in their conduct. Paul had called them saints, 1 Corinthians 1:2. They now call saints carnal, 1 Corinthians 3:1. You know why? In their conduct, they had yielded to the flesh. They had yielded to the devil. In James chapter 4, James also calls believers. He said they are born of God. He had told them they are born of God. He called them brethren in James 1:2. In James 1:17-18, he says they came from above. In James 1:19, he called them beloved brethren. In James 1:22-23, he says their natural face in the mirror is God's word. But when they go to James 4, he says to them in verse 4 over there, he says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Who therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Believers, he's talking to believers. In verse 8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. He's referring to their conduct. And so he can see a distinction between what they are doing and what the non-saved is equally doing. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul speaking to believers. In Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 14. Awake thou that sleepest. And rise from the dead. And Christ will give you light. Again. You know. So when we say Christian is stupid. Or is acting foolishly. He's made wise by God's word. Christ is his wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30. He has the light of life. Yet, he's acting stupidly. Because the word stupidity in scripture and foolishness has to do with unbelief. Not taking God's word seriously or to heart. The entire nation of Israel in unbelief, those in unbelief, were called foolish children. So foolishness simply means to act without the word. To think and talk without the word. That's why he said, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Luke 24 verse 25. Galatians 3:1, Paul summed up an entire church and he says, O foolish Galatians. Come on, that's strong. Are you so foolish? An attitude. So which means the attitude to scripture, which he said, before whose eyes was Jesus Christ evidently set forth and crucified amongst you, referring to what was written in scripture. Prographo. It was written before. Didn't you see it? So foolishness is that attitude we have towards God's word. Hallelujah. Now, the Hebrew of that phrase, foolish, is the word evil. E-V-I-L. Evil. The word foolish is from the Hebrew word evil. E-V-I-L. Go to Proverbs 17:28. God does not want his sons, the saints of God, to be stupid, to be thoughtless. He wants us to be wise. And his wisdom is his word. Say, God's wisdom is his word. All right, now let's see. We have Proverbs 17:28. A fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. He that shuts his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So I said last week that the primary way a man can be foolish is in his lips. And we said, on the heart and in your words. In your words and in your thinking. In your thinking and in your words. Interesting thing is that you know your thinking by your words. So we said last week, you must watch what you say. Now watch this. I'll talk about this later. You must watch what you say and who you are saying it to. A Christian mustn't talk without thinking. He mustn't talk without thinking. You must watch what, you must value words. When you are a Christian and you have read the import and the importance of words, you saw that the very first narration of sin was a conversation, and you are careless about conversation, that means you are stupid. You saw it. So don't be stupid. If you believe scripture, then understand that scripture stories or stories of scriptures are meant to make you wise. Satan is found in conversations. What did I say? He's found in conversations. A Christian looks at his audience before he says what he's about to say. A stupid Christian talks anyhow, anywhere. So, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ many times says to people, tell no one. That's Jesus. God. There's a whole lot in the synoptic about keep quiet. That's God. So freedom of expression is not a Christian virtue. Careful expression is the Christian life. You must be smart. People often say things that haunt them. I mean, we're in Nigeria here, and I can comment. We have, this last week or two, we had the story of a particular minister in the government who had said something when he was younger. And now, you know, after he had said those things, spoken against Ibu Mester education, he went ahead, changed his beliefs, went to get a PhD. But Ibu said, you are seeing so fine, dear Atoga. He brought out his statements. And he's apologizing. But that's a lesson for you and I. Then we mustn't just talk anyhow. Assuming he said those things in his toilet, nobody will know. Assuming he even said it amongst his friends, nobody will know. But you didn't know where you were talking. Pakaka, pakaka. Say you have repented. Go and live with your repentance. So the truth is, that even in the natural, is a lesson for us. Anybody telling you soros, okay, it's not helping you. So it's okay, it's not a Christian virtue. But shh, that's the Christian. Watch what you are saying. Watch who you are talking to. And watch what you are talking about. Are you in church? Look at these references. I'm going to take some time. Get second service, start later. Because I want to take time on this one. Look at Jesus. Mark 1, let's go through it. This is Jesus, Mark 1:34. I want you to open to every text, because I want you to get back home and look at it. Jesus did not allow the devils to speak
because they knew him. Mark 1:34. He suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Mark 3, verse 12. He straightly charged them that they should not make him known. Some of us as Christians, we like publicity. Publicity. Jesus didn't do that. Luke 4:41. He rebuked them and suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Look at Matthew 8:4. I want you to turn to every text. So have your Bible, we're going to read like 20. Matthew 8:4. See that thou tell no man, but go only to the priest. That means he said, restrict your audience. Is that clear? Go to Mark 1:44. We're going back and forth like that. Mark 1:44. Same thing. So say to any man, just talk to the priest. There's a certain things is from people who should know. When you tell people things they don't need, what are you telling them for? What's the purpose of the information? Luke 5:14. He had just cured the man. He says, tell no man, but go and show yourself the same. So, on three occasions, this thing is repeated to us. Matthew 9:30. He had just healed this man, blind man, or man. What does he tell them? See that no man. This is God talking, right? Mark 5:43. This is when he raised Jairus' daughter. Let's go. He charged them, we fast now, that no man should know it. See how consistent. Mark 8:26. Neither in the town, tell it to no one in the town. Luke 8:56. Luke 8:56. He charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Matthew 12:6. Matthew 12:6. No. 12:16. He charged them that they should not make him known. Mark 7:36. Mark 7:36. Open the deaf ears. He says, tell no man. Mark 7:36. Mark 8:30. Luke 9:21. Luke 9:21. He commanded them straight to tell no man what they are seeing. Miracles, revelation, Matthew 17:9, Mount of Transfiguration. Again, he says, do not tell anyone about this vision. Matthew 17:9, Mark 9:9, yes, it's the same. Mark 9:9, the same thing, tell no man. Luke 9:36, same thing, tell no man. Mark 7:24. He didn't want people to know who he was. Mark 7:24. Mark 9:30. When he passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. He would not that any man should know it. Matthew 21:27. Matthew 21:27. Need I tell you, I won't tell you by what authority I do these things. He didn't even tell them. In teaching, he didn't say everything. In teaching, he said, I won't tell you by what authority I do these things. Some things you say to people, it will cost you more trouble. Mark 11:33. Same thing. Neither will I tell you what by authority I do these things. Luke 20:8.
Are you learning something? Luke 20 and verse 8. Neither do I tell you by what or what. So it's consistent that Jesus did not say everything. Is that very clear? Miracles, revelation, signs, information, no. His very birth was that way. When he was born. Joseph and Mary, they hid him. The wise men were told when he was already two. Do not, that means for 2 years, God concealed who he was. If the right people knew, Joseph and Mary kept the sayings in her heart. Know who you are talking to. Know whether the person needs to hear it. Don't forget that eventually, that information became public when it was now necessary. There are things we say before it's time. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. And look at how, you know, Satan works with information. He did not know Jesus was born. When he was two, and the wise men came, you know, because they are from the east, they were doing big boy. They came with Rolls Royce. Everybody, they went down, went to the king. We came to visit the king. You came to the king to meet the king. How wise are you? My friend will say, stupid wise man. You went to a king that another king has been born in his own place. Ah, keep yourself some brain, man. Don't be stupid. The guy went and the guy said, go on, let me track it on Google Map. Where the guy is. They said, okay. They got there, took all the gifts. As they were still about to say, let's go and tell the king. He said, oh yeah. Don't go by here. Say my brother. That is God preserving God. Some people have said, no, this is the devil talking to you. We should not go anywhere. No, we have given our word. What useless word? When Samuel had disobeyed, Saul, and Samuel was crying, oh, he was disobeying you. And God said, why are you crying? I've chosen a son in the house of Jesse. He said, Lord, this Saul that I'm seeing is going to put CCTV around me with a body camera. Anywhere I go, he will know. He says, tell him you are going to worship. That's God, though. Now, did you go there to worship? Yes. Worship simply means to serve. To serve Yahweh. But he didn't give him the details. Some of you have been explaining. The worship actually, in the detail, I'm going to anoint a king. Can you see your life? Who are you talking to, for crying out loud? Who are you talking to? You are your husband, you are somewhere, you just met someone told me something about the husband. That was the husband one day, and then the husband said, they were not talking, the guy disclosed all their plans, what to do this one church. He said, why did you say all that to him? He said, don't you know today is my very good friend. I've known him since primary school. The wife now asked one question. Where does he work? The last time I said, you don't even know where he was. He said, very good friend. I said, very good friend. I was a very good friend. Where does he live? I forgot to ask him. Are you a very good friend? Don't be stupid. You have known somebody since primary school. Do you know how many things you have changed in primary school? At least, you have stopped supporting Chelsea. Do you know how many things you have changed? You know, I said, I've known this since primary school. I sat one guy down, we were in secondary school together. I said, time has passed. I said, in those days, we used to fight over food, mess over. On the table, you know, mess over is when they ring the bell so you can eat the food that is remaining. I said, now, you know, things have changed. Can you see fight over, mess over? He said, no. Do you see cut grass? He said, no. Thank God for that. Do you sleep on the bunk? He said, no. So don't think I'm the same person. Hallelujah. I told somebody, I said, you were in this, he said, I've been in this meeting for years. I said, you were here for 3.5 years. Don't say for years. You left since. Some people came after you, they have stayed over 10 years. They should now teach you. Don't say because you were there 20 something years ago. You know where I was 20 years ago? We used to use Walkman. In a room. Are we still in a room? So, sorry. I know my audience. I know who I am talking to. I won't be kind of but again. How far? What are you up to? We are pushing it. Shege Jamisi, Otiwa. Tell me, I'm telling you. God said, say you are going to worship. And he went there and entered the king. That was what he did. See, I refuse to be stupid. Watch the things that you see. Eventually, David was king. See Joseph. You saw a vision. Facebook. You tweet it. Everything. Facebook. You tweet it. Everything. I'm on my way to London. I'm in the middle of the air. The plane is making some sound. Are you okay? So people say, pray for me. Do you think people will pray for you? Is it that easy to pray? Is it that easy to pray? The one we say you pray before the service, you know how you move your body? Prayer group, you look at the time. Ah! Is it today? It's today. So you have me, you pray for me. You say, well, they'll just have the prayer there. God will stand with you. We are praying for you. That's all the prayer. Don't look for people's pity by giving them information they don't need. Some of you, you don't even need demons around. The Satanas is indwelling. It's your stupidity. Stupidity. There was one guy, he used to meet this guy in his secondary school alumni. So the guy, I had that story I think it was in 88, 89 or so. Was told by Dr. Tom Obanya. So he said, the guy, I said, they had been saying for years, the guy would just come. So one day the guy made sure he went to his house, his classmate. As he got to the gate, it was remote control. I said, Shego, what is this? It's so that I will not be stressed. You know, the gate sometimes, boys get down, so we just put something. We are just, he said, the country is hard. We are just trying not to, you know. He got inside. He saw swimming pool. Shege, swimming pool, he said. The heat of Nigeria is too much. So sometimes, you know, when I was in the village, I used to like the rivers. I just said, so just put some water here so that I can. The guy got there. He says, I'm just struggling. I said, this is not water bed. He said, you know, because of my skin. They told me, say, he said, hey. Let Nigeria be difficult for me too. My point is that. Some things you don't need to put it anywhere. Are you following what I'm saying? I told somebody, he wanted to get a brand new car. He said, he's going to buy this car. This car is not on me. I said, the moment you buy a new car, people will ask you for money. Okay, let me stop there. Because I don't want to say too much. I said, be wise. I mean, be careful who you talk to. There's something you don't need to tell anyone. Look at who you are talking to. In our church, hear me, I've said this to you publicly. These are the pastors. None of them discusses you with their friends. I'm talking about their pastor friends. You have no rights. There's no reason. The only person, if you are pastoring somebody here, the only person you can discuss that person with is me, because I'm over you. It's not a gist. If you tell your pastor colleague about your flock, what does he need the information for? He has his own people to pray for, he will not pray for your own. He just say, you are just giving them suspicion. Information they don't need. Praise the Lord. I was going to say this one publicly, but it's going to be public. I said something I never told someone for 24 years. By the time I said now, I've told the person. But I just kept quiet. I've still not told the person till now.
Why? Because information is not going to help the person's faith. If another person who has passed on. So when the person says, where is this fellow? I say, he's doing well. Where? Is he abroad? Is everyone abroad? Is he there? How will I see that I'll be explaining how a minister died? To be explaining details. Then I'll start praying for your faith. Say, you know, faith. I don't have that kind of time. It's fine. That will stabilize your faith. Do you understand? Who are you talking to? Some of you get to your office. You just be relaxed. You think they love you? Wait till there's office politics. The way they will sack you. You will think you are in sackcloth and ashes. Yeah. It's true. That's how my husband. That's how my wife. That's how my pastor. Are you well? Who do you think you are? The thing about the body of Christ, it's true, Jerry. Even in our church, I just. Why is that stupid? Talk about preachers. Even though you don't like that preacher, or you don't believe what he believes, but a Christian. People are Muslims. You just say, well, if you don't have anything to say, shut up, shut up. Must you talk? I mean, somebody preaching, shut up, talk, talk. You don't talk to me with that. You die. Shut up. Two of our prayer points, right, are self-induced. Prayer points. God gave you a vision. Joseph, he put it on Twitter, put it on Instagram. He even drew the vision on Instagram. How can you tell your brother, your other brother, that he will bow to you? You think, see, you and I, we never be beef. Ah, it's not second boy, it's not third boy, it's not fourth boy, it's not fifth boy. Say, all of you, my father. You know, I had a daddy and mommy. Ah. Go and sleep, boy. Go and sleep again. Wake up. You're not saying that walking in the flesh. Don't give people what will make them walk in the flesh too. Amen? Up on Jesus. Shut up. Don't say, well, for Joseph's case, God walked it out for his glory. Ah. Thank God for Reuben. Don't thank God for Reuben. Amen? Watch who you are talking to. A Christian must be, hear me. There are some of you here. You have a check in your heart. I know it. You just ignore it and keep talking. You know. There's when me I know. When I have misyarned, I will have there's this lightness. I'll just feel like you have messed things up. I'll just know. And oftentimes I'll start praying. Don't be so eager. That things like that, you don't be stupid. Don't talk too much. When you are in a place, as a Christian, in your office, in your campus, your family, you are, you say they are the one that lives up the atmosphere because you talk nonsense. Ha ha! Come! Oh boy, hide it. You know where I was coming from? They know you will disclose your entire life. Be quiet. Is that clear? Follow the example of Jesus. Let me just mention three things and we'll take the rest from next week. Be led by the Spirit of God. Is that very clear? Be led. There are things that they are right things, but don't say them at the wrong time. Don't be stupid. Number two. Think about the implications of the things that you are saying. I'll close here. Always look at the implication. Before you talk to somebody about something, there are some of us, it is gist that we gave another believer. It made them backslide. Gist they didn't need. Gist. Information they did not need. You said it. You said the person was discouraged in the faith. Who asked you to say it? Be led. Look, weigh the implications. The last part that I can't share today, I'll share it next week, is never think that your words don't have consequences. Never think it. Write it down that words don't die. They travel far. Be wise in how you talk. You are in an office. You are not in a prayer meeting.
you're not among believers, know what you are saying there. Who are you talking to? When Paul, how was Paul's life rescued? Acts of the Apostles. Paul was rescued by believers who carried him in a basket. Acts 9:25. That means there are things you hide. They carried him in a basket so that he would not be killed. When Peter came out of jail, pay attention here. God rescued him, Abby. Came out of jail. The next thing will happen to take self. Some of you, selfie has finished your life. Anything you are doing, anywhere you are, who are you showing up to? Anything you are doing, you are going abroad, or abroad is coming to you. Facebook say, click your. Anytime I see that thing on my phone, I say no. They click where you are going. Peter had been rescued by an angel. He came out of jail. He was supposed to be killed, remember, by Herod. They will have gone to give testimony.
When I do see it, you're walking. Bah! You know how to do Facebook.
You know, Herod wanted to kill me. He tried to kill me. Oh my God!
Herod just turned his TV on. You are just teaching us to do it well the next time.
Do you know when they saw him at the prayer meeting, he appeared at the right place. He didn't go to his brother's house. He didn't go to his neighbor. Hey boys. He went to where they were praying. Go to the right place. And he didn't go there for another prayer meeting. He sent the word to James. And Peter went. Until Herod died. And all his enemies, then he now came back to Jerusalem to go and do Bible study. Acts 15. Save yourself on due trouble. Shut your mouth. There are some of you, the delays you are facing in your life, the challenges are self-inflicted. You have spoken to the wrong people, said things the wrong place. Next week I'm going to talk about talking generally. Don't be stupid. Is that clear? Take marital issues. You go and spread it among friends. People are sharing on somebody's blog. You go and put your own there. Are you well? These are meant for prayer. Put it on Facebook. One guy like that, a classmate of mine, he finished his PhD in a very high level place. He had gotten awards. We had to find out ourselves. He said, it's no big deal. He saved himself pressure. He saved himself a whole lot of. He saved himself envy. Life is full of envy, bitterness. Because it's a fact in life, we all cannot get what we want. Somebody will get what you desire that you never have. It's a fact of life. Live with it. Somebody will be with what you are looking for in your life and you won't get. So where will bitterness come? Now you now have somebody is looking for that he has prayed for. He has done everything. You now go and flaunt it. Idiot. And I say the person is yielding to the devil. What did he yield to? The Holy Spirit. Don't be stupid. You learn something? Stand to your feet, praying in tongues.
I'm in fellowship with the Father.